Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you being here, and welcome to the visitors that we have. And somebody was telling me about this lesson series, because today we're going to finish up the lesson on the Holy Spirit, His being and His work. And I was just thinking how this class kind of blows every record. What's normally normal for a Sunday school class, this class just kind of blows it out of the water. You know, I mean, just number. People say, oh, you can't have a class over just a dozen or two people if you want a real good class. And I'm going, well, we beat that. And, oh, if you have too big of a class, there's no discussion, there's no, well, you beat that every single week. And giving, you just blow it. Records out of the water with your giving and what God does through this. And I think I've shared this before, but years ago we had a teacher's seminar or something, and one of the people that was speaking made the comment, oh, you should never have a lesson series that goes over 6-8 weeks at the very most, because that's as long as you can hold people's attention and stay focused on the material. Today is 18 weeks on the Holy Spirit, and I don't know, I just, from everybody, what you have helped discuss and the examples you've given and everything, I've just had a blast with it. Just such wonderful hearing everybody and digging into it. But that's, so I mean, I thank you for allowing me to go into such depth and methodically work through things, even the tough things that people don't like to discuss. But to me, it's just, this is what is so fun about getting into God's Word. It's just so uplifting and motivating and encouraging, and it's just fun. That's all there is to it. So anyway, this class kind of just, you're abnormal. That's all there is to it. So. And I appreciate it. I appreciate your abnormality a lot. Oh, man. And I hope that you've learned something about the Holy Spirit and our relationship that maybe you didn't know before, that we've kind of dealt with through our discussions and through our looking at different scripture to see, you know, maybe there was some new things. I know I've learned a lot just going back through it again, really looking at both sides of different issues, or the cessationist versus the continuationist, and looking at all the verses just to see how each side would interpret and look at those things. We realize that there's a lot of these things that are just not salvation issues. They aren't. So these that aren't salvation issues, we are respectful enough to the different viewpoints that we allow things that you know, that are just not well explained in Scripture, that the possibilities, we have to say, you know what, again, like I've said all the way through here, the Holy Spirit can do anything that He wants with anyone He wants at any time He wants in order to edify the church and get the gospel of Christ out. You can never limit what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. So that's something that just keeps coming up over and over again. So we began to look at the last part of this, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Someone asked me about the gifts and the fruit. Those are whole different lessons. We can spend weeks and weeks just on looking at all the individual gifts, what they do, what they mean, the fruit of the Spirit, all those. So we haven't even touched some of the depth that there is. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And there's a couple times in Scripture where this is referred to. And so we looked at some of the words that are used all the way through Scripture, beginning all the way in Genesis and Exodus. Consecration, where God consecrates the Israelites, set them apart for holy use. God tells the Israelites, Moses, whenever he builds the tabernacle, to construct the tabernacle, the furnishings, everything that's in the tabernacle, consecrate it. set it apart for holy use. Sanctify is the same thing, where God is sanctifying things and setting apart for holy use. So the ongoing sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is setting ourselves apart for holy use. We are submitting, we are dedicating to God and saying, I am prepared for you to use me in your holy purpose, the sanctifying work. So when God was sanctifying and consecrating the temple, he did so usually with anointing oil and blood. And there's very specific verses that we read where he talks about anoint these items and anoint them in this way with oil to set them apart, to consecrate them for holy use. And once they are set apart for holy use, you don't desecrate those things. That's what Daniel, King Belshazzar, got in trouble for using the goblets to drink from and get drunk from. He was taking something that had already been sanctified and consecrated and using it for unholy purposes, desecrating it, and he wound up dying because he was taking something of God's and desecrating it. In the same way, are we willing to desecrate the temple of the Holy Spirit? As Paul says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are we willing to desecrate, use ourselves for unholy purposes when we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us? We have been anointed, it says, by the Holy Spirit. We have that anointing on us. We have God living in us. Are we really willing to use ourselves for an unholy purpose? To anoint and sprinkle with blood is to make holy and to purify. The consecration of the temple is also by my glory, he says. Well, his presence in the tabernacle and the temple purified and made that holy of holies what it was. And so if holy God dwells in us, then his presence has made us holy also. And again, do we want to desecrate that? Then he also said that he was praying about the disciples, and he asked God to sanctify them with your truth. And what is truth? Your word is truth. And so the Holy Spirit is referred to by Jesus as the Spirit of truth. So how interconnected is the Holy Spirit with God's word? He is the word. Jesus was the word made flesh. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Men wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit to bring the Scripture to us. So God's Word is here right in front of us. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, bringing us God's Word to us. Then in Romans 8, he says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. And so whenever he talks about that, he says that, if you'll turn to Romans 8, let's read that right before we go on here. Romans 8, 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. So God has already seen everyone who will accept Jesus Christ. He has the knowledge of everyone. He's already seen it. And so therefore, those that accept Jesus Christ, he has predestined you to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. All past tense, all done. So as we started looking at what is the ongoing sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, is that God has already seen this accomplished. It's already complete in God's eyes. He sent his Son. We accepted his Son. He has predestined us. He has called us. He has justified us. He has already glorified us through his Son. Then why am I not perfect? And it's because as long as I'm here on earth, he is going to work in me and conform me to the image of his Son. The Holy Spirit is going to continue that work until it is completed, but it won't be completed on earth. It will be completed when we stand before Christ. So while we are here, there's an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Now, and if you're Presbyterian, you'll remember this. This is from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 35. What is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace. So it is a gift. It is nothing that we do. It is only a work of God, and it is His free gift of grace, whereby we are renewed. We are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. We are conformed to the likeness of the Son, and we are enabled more and more to die unto sin. Now, again, does that sound like that is a completed work? Well, no, if we're dying more and more to sin, that is an ongoing work. And to live unto righteousness. So this is an ongoing thing while we are here on earth. Christianity is not static, it's dynamic. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, we are being transformed, we are being renewed day by day, more and more to die unto sin, and more to live unto righteousness. It is an ongoing work. In God's eyes, He's already seen it completed. But He's going to work on us every single day if we allow Him to do so. So that was an interesting thing to run into. That explains it perfectly. Perfect. All right, so we're going to wind up here with 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. We are brought out of our old life and given power of the Holy Spirit, as Paul says, to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Without the Holy Spirit, we're incapable of doing that. We cannot beat flesh with flesh. We can't overpower our old man. We can't overpower our old selves. It's only with the Holy Spirit that we can put to death the misdeeds of the body. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So, there's one more of those. He gave another list over in Galatians right before he gave the fruit. He said, this life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And all these lists that he gives, I'm sitting there going, yep, okay, that's me. I'm finding myself. This is humanity. This is all of us. And he's saying, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. No matter if I just find myself, well, okay, maybe I'm a slanderer. Maybe, but all that other stuff. No, I'm very good in all that other stuff. But yeah, maybe I've slandered. That's all it takes. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Gossip? Sorry. Fits of rage? Sorry. Go down the list that he gives. That cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You break one law, you've disobeyed the entire law, like James says. We are impossible. We're incapable of doing this on our own. So he says, this, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But verse 11, and that is what some of you were. And this is what you were. This is what I was. But something has happened to us. Something has happened to us. And he says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Something has happened. This is what you were. And I can find myself right there. I know that that's what I was. But something has happened. Something has happened. You were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. There's the Trinity, by the way, one more time. The Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus Christ. If you ever think that the Trinity is not spoken of. But he's saying, now then, look at the way that you were and look what God has done. This is the way you were. This is past tense. You've been washed, sanctified, and justified. God's already done that. God's already done that. How? In the name of Jesus Christ through his crucifixion and death to sin. By the Spirit of God, you're sanctified by the Spirit. You are justified, counted as righteous by God. Washed, baptized to wash away sins, sanctified, set apart for holy use. Get this now. If this isn't already done, if this is not already done, you could not have the Holy Spirit. Well, now wait a minute. We just said we're not done yet. Again, through Jesus Christ, God has already seen you as complete. If that wasn't true, you would not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You couldn't. So, God has created a miracle through His Son Jesus Christ that if we believe in Him, He says, then I see you as holy and pure as my Son, therefore I can count you as righteous, justification. I can wash you, I can cleanse you of sin, I see you as without spot or blemish, and now then you are sanctified, you are set apart for holy use through the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen you completed. Otherwise, I could not send my Holy Spirit to dwell in you. It's done. It's past tense. That's what some of you were. This is what's so amazing. God sees us. Why aren't we seeing ourselves the same way God does? You know, this is what the rub is while we're here on earth. We've got a ways to go, but why can't we see us as God's eyes see us? And therefore, if that's how God is looking at me, then do I really want to commit that sin? No, I don't. I don't want to desecrate the temple. I don't want to desecrate His presence. No, I don't want to live like that. And it's not out of beating myself into rules. It's out of, I want to please God who dwells in me. I want to please His Holy Spirit who lives in me, who lives with me, who guides me. I want to do that for Him out of love, not out of discipline and duty. So He has already seen us as that. Now then, Titus 3 says a lot the same thing. Timothy, Titus. Titus 3:3. Titus 3:3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Who's we? Who's writing this letter? This is Paul. Okay, the Apostle Paul had the same problem? Yep. And he says, you know, I used to be the same way. I was foolish. I was disobedient. I was deceived. I was enslaved. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Okay, here's another list. Here I am again. This is me. I think that the big sins maybe I'm clear on, but here we are. Here's some more little things that, that's me. Gotcha. But, here's another, somebody said thank God for the buts in the Bible. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. So again, back to the Westminster Catechism. By God's grace, a gift of God's grace alone. Not by anything that we've done. It was purely a gift of His grace out of His love. But He saved us. How? Through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Again, past tense. We've been saved. We've been washed. We've been reborn. We've been renewed. It's done. It's taken care of. And the only way that can happen is if we believe in Jesus Christ, then God says, then, here's my gift to you. So again, there's this renewal. There's this washing. There's this rebirth. There's something going on here that God has already done through Jesus Christ. but will continue with us as long as we're here on earth. We were saved by the kindness and love of God. How? Through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And it was poured out on Jesus Christ. There's the Trinity again, by the way, one more time, just to point that out. But we are justified by grace, not by anything that we've done. There's no amount of effort. There's no amount of good guy. There's no amount of kindness that we can do that could ever justify being holy as Jesus Christ. Nothing that we can do. It has to be a perfect gift. This alludes to exactly what Jesus was talking about, John 3. In John 3, that leads up to John 3:16, but before that he's saying, John 3:5, Jesus tells Nicodemus, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. What did he just say? How's that rebirth and washing and renewal going to happen? It's only by the Holy Spirit. There's no other possible way for us to be renewed and reborn except by the power of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Birth is a messy thing. The first thing they do is wash that little baby up. Rebirth is a messy thing. The first thing we do, we are washed and cleansed by the Spirit, not only by the symbolism of baptism, water baptism, but by His Spirit who cleanses us. Our temple has to be cleansed. It has to be anointed. It has to be consecrated. How does that happen? It is by the blood of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the temple. It's all the same. God has been given these images. He has been given us symbols. He has given us examples ever since the beginning of the Israelites in the tabernacle, in the temple, all the way through. It's all the same. And now by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are cleansed, we are washed, we are rewashed, we are washed at rebirth, we are cleansed, and we are set apart for holy use. We are sanctified, we are consecrated. Through the blood of Christ, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the miracle of our salvation and the dwelling of the Holy Spirit is that we can be renewed every single day. This, whenever I first realized what the Holy Spirit does in my life, and it wasn't when I first became a Christian, it's much later, I realized that I can wake up a new person every day. That's what really just blew me away and totally changed my love for the Holy Spirit, my relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's when it really started changing my life. When I realized, you mean I can wake up tomorrow different than I was today? Yes. Because the Holy Spirit is conforming me into the image of the Son. It is a day by day, just like the Catechism said, that more and more do we die to sin. More and more do we live to righteousness. More and more. It's an ongoing thing. So if the Holy Spirit does away with another part of my old self, then tomorrow when I wake up, I'm a different person. I've been recreated. I've been reborn again. Something's died in me. And something's awakened in me, and I've been reborn again. So in one manner, do I need to be reborn in the Holy Spirit every single day? Well, that's exactly what He's doing. If we allow Him to do it. If we allow Him to do it. We can be reborn. We can be a different person than we were yesterday. But it's only by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. When we quit fighting and arguing with Him, and when we quit pushing Him away and allow Him to work in us, I'll be different tomorrow. I'll be less sinful and more righteous. Isn't that incredible? Now that's a miracle. That's a miracle that He can do that. But it's God working in us. If we allow Him to recreate us day by day, we are being conformed to the image of the Son, just like He says He's going to do. So then, when Paul states 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I die every day. Some translations, I die daily. I mean that, brothers. Just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Now then, a lot of people think that the interpretation of that is that as a martyr, he dies daily for Christ. As a martyr. And that's probably partly true. But there's something else that is going on that, especially when you put it with 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. It takes on this whole different meaning that's just beautiful. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. There it is. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Some of us are wasting faster than others. Outwardly. But inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. What I was yesterday died. I die daily. But I've been renewed through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit into something that I was not yesterday. I'm a little bit more like Christ today than I was yesterday. I die daily. If I allow the Holy Spirit to work in me, He's going to recreate me in a manner somehow that is more like Christ than I was yesterday. So what happens to that piece of my old self? It has to die. It has to be killed. That's what the identification of our crucifixion with Christ, as Paul says in Romans, I've been crucified with Christ. That's my identification with Him. So do I come out perfect? No, I don't. There's parts of me that I'm going to hang on to because, by golly, I like that part. I like that part of my old self. But Jesus says, yeah, but that's not me. We've got to get rid of that. And so another piece of you is going to die off if you'll allow me to do that in your life. If we're allowing the Holy Spirit to renew us day by day, then should that be noticeable? Nod your heads. Yes, it should. I mean, if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ every day, that should be noticeable. That should be something that people look at and say, you know what, you're different. Yeah, I woke up new this morning. I'm totally reborn. I'm renewed. Something's totally different about me today because the Holy Spirit took and killed off another part of me that wasn't like Christ. Should be noticeable. Should I be able to look back daily and say, I die daily. This is the new me. Yesterday I remember something that I did that was not Christ. Maybe not daily, but monthly or every year or something. You ought to be able to ask your spouse, you know, am I different? Your spouse should be able to say, you know what, you're a lot more patient than you used to be. Your spouse should say, you know what has happened that you're excited about Scripture? Something's happened in you. Should we be able to notice? I should be able to look back and say, you know what? I have grown in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I know it. I love to please Him. I don't do things out of duty or discipline. It is complete delight that I serve my Savior now. I can't wait to get to this class and look at the Scripture with these people. I look forward to this. There should be something about us that says, the Holy Spirit's working. He's renewed me day by day. Folks, there's no other faith that can do this. There's no other faith that can recreate us from the inside out. All other faiths are working on the outside, hoping that what we do on the outside will change what's inside. But it doesn't work. You can try to follow all the rules, but there's going to be more rules. And if you've already messed up on one rule, I'm sorry, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It can't work that way. Flesh doesn't beat out flesh. You don't follow enough rules to get into heaven. You'll never get there. It'll be frustrating. It'll be futile. You're always going to be angry at yourself and everybody else because we can't do it. Christianity is the only faith that renews from the inside out. It cleanses the heart first so that we become obedient and submissive to Christ. We are renewed. We are reborn. We are sanctified inwardly so that way what comes out is more like Christ. You know, out of the what is ever is in the heart, Christ said, that's what's going to come out. You got to fix what's inside first, and then what comes out will be different. So shouldn't we see that? Yes, we should. We should see that change. Something should be happening. Sometimes it takes a long time for the Holy Spirit to get rid of something that's not like Christ. Sometimes it's a minute change, and maybe we don't notice it at first, but later, maybe we should. The example that I've used before, I know I've used it before, but for those of you, to me, it's just such a wonderful example. It is a sculptor that is working on a big block of granite. Somebody comes in and says, what are you making out of the big block of granite? He says, a horse. He says, well, how do you know what to get rid of? And the answer is, everything that doesn't look like a horse, I chip away. When God is conforming us to the image of His Son, He's chipping away everything that doesn't look like His Son. It can be painful at times when He chips away something that we're really fond of. But it has to happen. That's working on the image of His Son. That's the Holy Spirit chipping away those parts that don't look like Jesus Christ, that don't belong. Sometimes you don't notice the little piece that falls off. Sometimes you want to grab the piece and try to put it back on. But He's working every single day. He's chipping it renewed into the image of His Son, recreated. It's impossible by trying to follow a law. It is impossible to try to subdue our old flesh through our own attempts. It'll never work. Our flesh will continue to rear up and confront us face to face. Without the Spirit, it's impossible, because trying to obey one law to perfection just brings up more laws, and more laws bring back more disobedience and futility. We will always fail to follow any law perfectly. The hole that we dig will just get dug deeper. It's only with the power of someone who has crucified sin, who comes to live in us, is it possible. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us will renew us. He will sanctify us day by day when we allow Him to do it. He is the one that puts to death the misdeeds of the body, not us. So now then, I want to wind up with Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. So what Christ did was heavenly. It was not a part of the earthly temple that He went through to purify. It was the God's perfect holy temple in heaven that was purified. How did that happen? Well, He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. Remember? All the other faiths work on the outside. You may look clean on the outside. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. There's the Trinity again. I just keep pointing these out. It's there. How much more will that blood cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Now here's what's amazing. God told the Israelites how to cleanse the temple. And he accepted that. He accepted their worship. He accepted the anointing of the Holy of Holies with oil and with blood. And he accepted the fact that the high priest walked into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled 7 times blood on the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, that purifies the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar. God accepted that. But it had to be done daily and annually, over and over and over, for hundreds, thousands of years. And when the third temple has been rebuilt, the Jews expect to begin that same thing over again. So now he says, but Jesus didn't do the earthly stuff. He did the heavenly stuff. And he only did it once because he was perfect. The blood was perfect. That satisfied the requirement one time for all men, for all time, for all sin. And it's done. So the perfection has been taken care of for inward cleansing, not outward. Only once. Through the eternal Holy Spirit dwelling in us, cleansing us, washing us, renewing us, sanctifying us every single day. It's a lovely miracle that we get to see. Lovely. All right, so just a quick refresher on some of the things that we've talked about. That, you know, the important things to take away, to remember out of all of this, all of this is just so beautiful. And it is only through the miracle, the sacrifice of Christ, and the miracle of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a being. He is God. He is eternal. He is a member of the Trinity. He is called the Spirit of Truth, Counselor, Comforter, Intercessor. Since he is a person, we can grieve him, we can quench him, we can insult him, we can ignore him, we can push him away. If he was just an impersonal spirit force, that wouldn't happen. So we know that he is a being, he is God, he is dwelling in us, in all believers. All of Scripture was written by the inspiration, power of the Holy Spirit, carrying men along as they wrote from God. So we believe without the Holy Spirit, we don't have Scripture. That was one of the works of the Holy Spirit, that he gave us Scripture. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is our teacher of God's Word. In one respect, whenever John says you no longer need teachers, you have the Spirit of Truth who gave God's Word dwelling in you. Then it also says that people are gifted to be teachers, and I'm thankful for that. So I know that there's a little bit of a contradiction there, a paradigm that we don't fully understand, that there are teachers, but yet you don't need teachers because you have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That's an amazing thing to ponder. The Holy Spirit knows our spirit, so we can understand the things that God has given us, freely given us. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not understand the things of God. We don't desire to know the things of God. It is only with the Holy Spirit do we begin to understand what God has done for us. Without the Holy Spirit, I can't begin to interpret Scripture. It's impossible. It's meaningless. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that that can happen. Otherwise, I'm ignorant of the things of God. Nor do I even desire the things of God. Since Christ came and ascended into heaven, all who believe in Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of their belief, dwelling in them. We all receive the Holy Spirit. We are then the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should never treat it lightly, take it for granted, nor desecrate it, nor treat it in an unholy manner. We have the presence of God in us. Do we think that we can sin and get away with it? Nobody's ever going to know this. You have God dwelling in you. He knows. Why do we want to do that? The Holy Spirit is our seal, the seal upon us, the deposit that God has put in us, and we are owned by God. Because of that seal that is on us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, now he can say, that person belongs to me, and that guarantees what is to come. That is our redemption, our resurrection, and our eternity in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit dwelling us guarantees our eternity. We are marked, we are written holy to the Lord, just like the high priest. God knows who we are. If we did not believe in Jesus Christ, we would not have his Holy Spirit. If he sees his Holy Spirit dwelling us, he knew that we believed in Jesus Christ. No one comes unto the Father except through the Son. That's how he knows. We are washed, we are renewed, and we are sanctified through our belief in Jesus Christ, but we are being washed, being renewed, being sanctified by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, ongoing every single day. He continues to renew us each day when we allow him. We are recreated by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. If we allow him, he does that every single day. Every day. He gives each believer gifts that are to be used to edify the church and spread the gospel. He grows fruit in us to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in fruit and growing in our gifts should be noticeable and should be used for those purposes and those purposes alone. He kills off pieces of our old self. He puts to death the misdeeds of our bodies when we allow him to do that. And we wake up brand new every day. The Holy Spirit gives us life. Any questions? Whew. Man, this is who we have living in us, folks. It's just an amazing miracle. That's all there is to it. Anything else? Again, thank you for being this wonderful class. I love it. That's what I look forward to every week. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Almighty God, we thank you so much for your love for us, the grace that you give to us, the gifts that you give to us that are so far beyond our comprehension that we consider them a miracle, a mystery that you are working in our lives. We know it to be true because you give it to us in your word. We know it to be true because the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us, and he can only speak truth. So we believe it to be true, and we thank you. Dear Holy Spirit, we know that you dwell in us. We know that you are recreating us day by day, that you are renewing us, that you are killing off our old self and conforming us to the image of Christ. We are so sorry when we push you away, when we ignore you, when we grieve you through our sin. We are so sorry. Help us to stand out of the way and let you work every single day in our life because we want to look more like Jesus. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for your patience. We thank you for your love, your gentleness, and working with us in every single moment of our lives. Help us in every single decision to decide to be more like Christ in every way. And dear Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body that was nailed to the cross just so this miracle could occur. Dear Lord, we thank you for the people in this class, their generosity, their love for your word, and their love for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all for being here.